on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Robert Paul joins us. He's vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. He's both a marriage therapist and an accomplished speaker. Bob's the primary architect of Focus's highly successful Hope Restored marriage counseling programs that have served over 15,000 couples from around the world. He's co-authored, get this, 6 books, including The DNA of Relationships, with some guys you may have heard of, Drs. Gary and Greg Smalley. Also, 9 Lies That Will Destroy Your Marriage and The Truths That Will Save It and Set It Free. That with Dr. Greg Smalley. And most recently, Empowered to Love with Dr. Tara Lalonde. He's a former professor at Evangel University, where he taught in both the biblical studies and psychology departments, specializing in marriage and family counseling, human sexuality, and the integration of faith into all areas of life. Paul, thank you so much. Bob, thank you for, first of all, before the interview, yeah, we nailed that down. I introduced you as Robert. We're going with Bob. You told me even when you're in trouble. I love that you said even when you're in trouble, Mom still it's Bob or Bobby. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, she just says Bobby with emphasis. So yeah, nobody calls me Robert.
Well, I tell you what, with that introduction and your resume. You know, I feel like, I got to get my credit card out for my appointment today. But you're not even doing the 5 cents that Lucy charges at the booth. We're getting a lot of great insight, free 50 free. And I don't say that lightly. I appreciate with all the insight that you have, you taking the time to walk us through today's topic of rethinking irreconcilable differences in marriage. So again, appreciate your time. You know, I wanted to jump right in looking at how many couples, well, they mistakenly believe differences are the cause of their marital challenges. Apparently that's some faulty thinking. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, you know, it really is true at this stage of the game, especially in the era of no-fault divorces. The single most commonly cited reason for divorce today is irreconcilable differences. And it's an easy way to say, I don't want to deal with this anymore, I'm out of here. But realistically, we've come to understand that differences themselves are actually never at the root of marriage problems. Yes, it causes us to bump, because I know my wife and I, we've been married a good long time. And we are very different people, and our differences do bump. But the reality is God created those differences on purpose, with purpose. And the problem in marriage is not knowing how to adequately value those differences and effectively utilize them as they were intended to be used. Because I'm telling you what, my marriage would not be better if I was married to a carbon copy of me. One of us would be unnecessary. I am so thankful in the end that my wife and I are very different people.
Yeah, so clearly, as you're saying, the differences aren't what causes the issues and marital challenges, but it's individual. It's really the individuals having areas that they really need to deal with personally. Would you agree?
I think that's part of it, but I think it's that you know, we mistakenly think a lot of times the differences do cause a rub. Okay, so I'm not saying that you know, that there really is the differences between my wife and I and how we think, what we want, what we believe at times cause the rub. But the reality is our marriage is better because we're different in God's design. You know, we wouldn't be better off if we were exactly the same and thought exactly the same. My wife spurs me toward growth, to see things differently than I would naturally on my own. And it's easy to think that the differences are the problem, but I've learned that when I can see God working through each of us in our unique ways and bringing what each of us bring to the table, that we are better off and I can value those differences and figure out, okay, how can I make best use of them, because they're intentional, they're purposeful, and as a result, they're valuable.
Yeah, you know, you bring to light something as you know, I've been in some sort of management for, you know, decades. And one thing that I'm glad I learned decades ago, you know, and a lot of things we apply in marriage and relationships in general, work relationships, marriage relationships are applicable in both places. But one of the things that that I think I learned at work and probably apply it at home is the phrase "different isn't wrong necessarily." Just because someone does something differently than you might approach it, it's real easy for us, isn't it, to say no, that's not how to do it. But the truth is, you know, there's many paths to the end goal.
Well, you know, and it's interesting too, because, you know, I love sports and I'm a big team sports guy. And, what I've come to realize is that if you want to have a championship team, and marriage, by the way, is a team sport by God's design. If you want to have a great team, you don't want a whole bunch of players that have exactly the same strengths and exactly the same weaknesses. You've got a weak team. Great teams have players that are very different, have different strengths and different weaknesses, and they learn to play to each other's strengths and cover each other's weaknesses. And that's really what makes a dynamic team. And I think it's exactly the same thing in marriage. And I've just had to learn to say, okay, Jenny and I are seeing this differently. And it's easy for me to think my way is the better way and my way is the right way, or to even think that I've got ideas for how to improve her. You know, sadly, this is embarrassing, but it's true. For many, many years, I was what I like to call the self-appointed Holy Spirit helper in the Perfecting Jenny Project. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess neither God nor Jenny had asked for my assistance in that process. And when I was looking at the things about Jenny that I wanted changed, I didn't really realize for many years that I was not only offending Jenny, but I was really looking at God and telling him he could have done better. And I don't really recommend that. I've learned that God really knows what he's doing, and he made her perfectly the way he created her. And when he was done, he didn't go, oops, I could have done better with me or her. And I need to learn how to really appreciate his handiwork and recognize that she's different on purpose. And that has the potential to be a benefit to both of us, if I can really see that and encourage that and learn how to work with that.
Oh, I love how you bring God into this. And when you did mention that, what came to mind for me, and I won't have the address. If you have it, you're welcome to share it. But the truth from Scripture tells us, he tells us that, you know, our ways are not like his ways. His ways are so much higher than ours, different than ours. And how important that is. I think that's a great concept. Before we move on, do you want to speak to that anymore?
Well, I think you're right. And I really want to be looking through his eyes as much as I possibly can, which I frequently am not. And saying, okay, you know, God, what's your intent here? What are you trying to do? Because I want to be in line with you, because your ways are perfect and your mind is perfect and your plan is perfect. And when I'm not in line with your design, I'm setting myself up for a disappointment, and I'm certainly setting myself up to disappoint you.
Well, you know, I want to share not even really an illustration. It's more of a story. We have a meal dish that my wife and I both enjoy. And it's something that I make in the crock pot, but she prefers to make it in a frying pan. You know, we both can eat it either way, but you know, when she said she wanted to do it in the fry pan, I relented, and it wasn't difficult. I easily relented. Pick your battles. And you know, The way she does it caramelizes everything, and it is so much better. And is this an example of, you know, just one of the ways couples can adequately value and utilize their differences to make the marriage stronger? And I'm sure there's better examples of much more important things than a yummy dish.
Well, yeah, but why not? I mean, I think it's great. And you know, I want to serve God well. And I know that I have limitations. And one of the potential beauties of marriage is that when we work together as a team, we are so much more than either of us could be individually. When we really learn to work together with each other and with God, in unity with each other and in unity with God, we are capable of doing so much more than ever before. Matter of fact, I can give you a great example of this. I've been a public speaker for many, many years, and I've been talking about marriage issues. Well, 8 years ago, the Lord opened the door for Jenny to join me, and she joins me in many of the events that we do around the world and the trainings we do. And I got to tell you, she's not only become a great speaker, but my credibility has gone through the roof since she started speaking with me, because it's interesting how much people would say before, okay, so I wonder what Jenny would say if she was up there. And we very frequently tell on ourselves. I mean, you know, we're works in progress, but it's amazing how much God has utilized us as a team to actually advance the work that we were both able to do in making a difference for Him. And those differences are key to it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I want to go back to that story I shared, because what I neglected to share as well, not only did I relent and we went Nancy's direction in how we were going to make this dish, but you know, Bob, I could have sat there and mumbled under my breath, oh man, her way's better, you know, but instead I said, you know what? Wow. This is much better than in the crock pot. Just letting her know, you know, that, yeah, I had a way, but, we went your direction, and wow, how successful was that? How important is that?
I think it's great. And it's also important, since you're using that metaphor, is that I'm very clear, since my wife also makes some phenomenal crock pot dishes, that just because one dish is better in the frying pan doesn't mean there's not some really great dishes that can be made in a crock pot. You know, it's not either or. And I think to be able to recognize when your spouse does something that is exceptional is a real blessing. It's something you can be blessed by, to go, wow, look at that, and marvel at the incredible gifting of your spouse. And to really share that with them is very encouraging. And I know we've made it a point to do that with each other. I want to marvel at God's handiwork in Jenny and then how that manifests. And I love it when she affirms me and is grateful for the way God made me different than her and what that additionally brings to the marriage. That's an honoring relationship with one another. It's very affirming. It's very encouraging. And it's safer when neither of us are out to change the other and make them different than they are at their core. You create a very safe environment for the relationship and both people to thrive.
Bob, earlier in the conversation, you brought God into what we were talking about as far as rethinking irreconcilable differences in marriage. Let's continue down that path. Let's talk about prayer and a proper posture before the Lord. How critical is that to managing differences and fulfilling God's purpose in marriage? You've touched on it some, but do you want to dive any deeper into that?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, it's amazing, Steve, how sad it is that there are so few couples we're finding that really take advantage of what's available through prayer together. Matter of fact, we've got access to research that's saying 15% or less of Christian couples actually pray together. Now, that's not saying they don't pray. It's saying they don't pray together. And, you know, Jenny and I both have very active personal relationships with our Lord. But that's missing out if we're not taking the time to actually pray together. And there's lots of reasons why people are afraid of that or reluctant to do that. But boy, it is a huge advantage when you have not only a personal relationship, but a together relationship with God. And I love that part of that developing part of our relationship. But like I said, less than 15%, our research is showing, take advantage of that. And the opportunity to hear from God together and to experience God together is an enormous potential opportunity for a deeper, intimate, meaningful connection with one another and feeling as if you're really striving together toward a common goal, which ultimately is what unity is about.
Bob, you mentioned only 15% of marriages spend time doing that, spend time in prayer together. Now, knowing that, that's got to mean that there's marriages that for years have gone without it. And we're human, and we're stuck in a rut and a little awkward maybe to ask about or suggest or expect that, this would happen. Are there secrets to making that transition a little less awkward, or Bob, is the answer, kind of Nike, just do it?
It's interesting. I love to hear my wife talk about this because, she talks about how often the reason people don't pray together is because they're afraid of being judged, criticized for how they pray, because we're really, really different. And we have a tendency to pray differently. Oh, you pray too long, or you pray too much like the military, or you pray like this, or you pray like that. Why don't you do it differently? And what Jenny says regularly is, there's an opportunity when you pray together to marvel at one another's differences. And you're getting an intimate front row seat into their not only unique design, but their unique relationship with God. And rather than sit back and criticize and think they should be doing it differently, sit back and be impressed by how different they are, and that you're getting an invitation to experience an aspect of their relationship with God. And it's an evolving, changing thing too, because a lot of times people aren't used to praying out loud, let's say, and that they pray very privately, but they're opening a door when they begin praying together to develop a whole other side of their personality, and also to deepen their marriage. And, there's true vulnerability in this, but, the intimate connection between a man and a woman has to include a measure of vulnerability. And we really encourage people to actively work to make it a safe place so that intimate connection can grow. And the last thing I'll say about that is that our enemy, Satan, uses regularly a divide and conquer strategy. He wants to put wedges between us everywhere he possibly can. And what happens is, if you aren't doing things purposefully to create that connection, we tend to be drifting apart over time in ways that maybe we're not even realizing it. It could be physically, it could be mentally, it could be emotionally, and it could be spiritually. We just drift apart, and the enemy's having a heyday. And I said a long time ago, I am tired of them having a party in hell at my expense, and I want to do everything I can to head them off at the pass.
Well, we've been visiting with Robert Paul. He's vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. Before we say our goodbyes, Bob, any final thoughts and resources you may want to make available to the KLYT listener?
Well, two things, sure. Certainly, there's probably some people that are listening, Steve, that are really struggling in their marriage. And if that's the case, we really do have an amazing program available at Focus on the Family called Hope Restored. And we have locations around the country. We have locations in Canada. And we've got some top-notch therapists that can meet you there. And if you want to look into that program, it's an intensive program. It goes generally for 4 days or less. So it's, you know, you get there, we get after it. We want to get you to a better place. And HopeRestored.com is the resource. The regular Focus on the Family.com resource and the marriage area can give you a lot of resources there, lots of articles and books and whatever. And then the last thing I'll mention is that Dr. Greg Smalley and I wrote a book that you mentioned already, 9 Lies That Will Destroy Your Marriage, subtitle being On the Truths That Will Save It and Set It Free. And there are beliefs that many people have adopted, some from the culture, some that have infiltrated the church, unfortunately, by well-meaning people, but that actually are things we have to unravel regularly in our work with couples to help them see the places where they've been set up to fail, to help them find their way on a path to really thrive and create a relationship that both of them love and both of them love the direction it's headed. So those would be the resources I'd want to present.
All right, Robert Paul, Vice President of Focus Marriage Institute. We call him Bob. Bob, thanks again so much for your insight and sharing it with us today and for your time. Would love to have you back anytime.
We love that, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.